In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 244 years ago, 56 people came together to discuss the future of what would become our great nation. They represented what would become the 13 original states, so they had conflicting interests and deeply divided views, and yet they were able to reach a consensus on a way forward, something sadly we seldom see happening today. The result, of course, was the Declaration of Independence. Those 56 people were willing to look beyond their disagreements and say this: for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The United States of America was born. A new era began, an era of hope, liberty, and freedom. Roughly 50,000 Americans, about 1% of the population at that time, were killed or injured over the next 8 years to secure something those 56 people held to be self-evident: that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Between then and now, another 1.3 million Americans have shed their blood so that we might continue to be free. Our country is not perfect. It never was. It never will be. So we continue to struggle together, even together with those with whom we disagree, to form a more perfect union. But freedom is ours, and that's why we are able to gather here this morning, either in person or virtually, to give thanks for the ultimate freedom that is ours through the sacrifice of one man, Jesus Christ. And make no mistake about it, this is a freedom we take for granted, but it is by no means a freedom that is universal. It is estimated that around the world, more than 260 million Christians experience some form of persecution because of their religious beliefs. When we add to that the number of worshipers of other faiths who are persecuted for their religious beliefs, the number becomes staggering. So this morning, on this Independence Day weekend, we can thank God that we are free to be here together as the body of Christ. This morning, Jesus is issuing an invitation to us. Come to me, he says. It is an invitation to discipleship. We must heed his call because the world today needs Christian disciples more than ever. There is a tone of sadness in our gospel message. Jesus sounds somewhat disheartened by the perversity of human nature. Children are arguing, some want to play a game with a pretend wedding, others want to play a game with a pretend funeral. No matter what one group offered, the other group found fault with it. No matter what was suggested, they didn't want to do it. There was no common ground, no willingness to compromise. They just kept arguing. The religious establishment was judgmental. They criticized John's ethic of self-denial as sheer madness. Jesus' ethic of hospitality and sociability, which was sort of the opposite of John's ethic, was criticized as morally lacking. There was no respect for differences, no willingness to even try to understand those who were different. Seems that some things never change. When Jesus calls to us this morning saying, "Come to me," he is offering a different way of living, a different way of relating to one another, a different way of relating to God. In Jesus, we find new life, new goodness, a new way of seeing God, and through him, unfettered access to God. Who among us today is not weary? Who among us today is not carrying a heavy burden? Oh, I know that Jesus was talking about the burdens in the context of adhering to a convoluted myriad of Jewish laws and teachings when he spoke over 2,000 years ago, what he referred to as the law and the prophets. But Jesus is alive. Jesus is with us today. And today he is speaking to us about the wearisome burdens of our modern lives. "I will give you rest, rest for your souls," he says. He's offering us something incredible when he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Think for just a moment about this yoke. In Judaism, the yoke was a symbol of entering into submission. In this instance, submission to Christ. But a yoke did more than that. A yoke joined two animals together so they could work together. That, of course, lessened the burden on each one of them. Jesus is offering that yoke to us, his yoke. And yoked to Jesus, our burden becomes light. Some of you will remember a movie made in 1938. That was before I was born, but I've seen the movie a few times. It's called Boys Town. It's fictional, but Boys Town was a real place that still exists today. Then it was a home for delinquent and underprivileged boys run by a Catholic priest, Edward J. Flanagan, who was played by Spencer Tracy. In 1943, Boys Town adopted a sculpture based on the movie of one boy carrying another as their logo. The caption on the sculpture read, "He ain't heavy, Father. He's my brother." This is the kind of burden Jesus is talking about. It's not that the burden is easy to carry. It's that the burden is laid on us in love, God's love for us, and it is meant to be carried in love. I've said this before, by love I mean Christian love. It's not sentimental, it's more like a combination of compassion and respect. The gentle and humble Jesus teaches us through word and example about the nature of the burden. It is simple. You have heard Jesus say it over and over. You have heard me say it over and over. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's that simple. Not easy, but simple. Some of our young people might actually change the world someday in a monumental way. But for most of us, changing the world happens one person at a time. Accept Jesus' invitation. Let him place his yoke of love upon you. Accept his burden of love, then spread that love to others. One person at a time. That will change the world. 700 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Micah summarized the laws and teachings of Judaism in a slightly different way. I will leave you with his words. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.